Good morning. Welcome to the eighth and final session of our ABF study on discovering your spiritual gifts. And today we've got both Phil and myself out here because we're going to do some question and answer time today. This is the day that we hope to tie up any loose ends, answer any questions you might have, and we've got some for you as well. So let's open in prayer, and then we'll jump into our review from last week with the spiritual gifts survey. Father in heaven, we just want to thank you so much for your love for us and for revealing yourself and your will through your word. And we do want to thank you that we've been able to spend these last 8 weeks studying something that's very important for the building up of the local church, and that is the spiritual gifts that you've given to each believer. Lord, we do pray that as we wrap things up today, there would be clarity, that we would be able to cover everything that needs to be covered, to really dig deep into the questions that we still might have. But most importantly, we ask that you would help us to apply the things that we have learned from our own lives so that we can build up Kitwe Church as you have intended. And we ask your blessing upon our time together now. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay, well, how many of you brought back your spiritual gift survey from last week? I'm seeing several. Good. That's good. Well, we wanted to start by just wrapping up what we did last week. And for those who were not here, what we did is we walked through this entire thing together. We looked at on the handout that the author of this particular survey, Gene Wilkes, he defined a few of those spiritual gifts differently than what we did in class, but they were, although different from ours, given his definition, they would still be theologically accurate. And so we then walked through all 80 questions together to make sure there were no confusions over how they were worded or what they meant by it. And then we only did a couple, I think the first two, totaling up of what that meant. So we went through leadership and administration to get our totals, and from there, I gave you homework. So, I hope you did the homework and finished totaling up your scores for each of these so you could recognize which of the spiritual gifts you may possess. And then, how many of you did the little graph chart? I knew you two would, because I was watching you last week. It was like what you were really wanting to get to, right, Clara? Okay, so here's what we want to do now. If you think all the way back to session 2, 6 weeks ago, I was challenging you to think through what gifts do you have, and what gifts do you see in the lives of others? And so let's start off with that, because sometimes we're taking these tests and we're like, I'm not so sure, but maybe someone else in the room can affirm, oh yeah, I do see that in you. So let's go through this, and I'm going to ask, I want to hear from each of you. So Clara, which ones of these do you think, if you look at the handout there, the gifts that I have begun to discover in my life are... Did you find a few of them?
Yes.
What were they?
The first one, knowledge.
Okay.
And then discernment.
Okay.
Faith and exhortation.
Faith and exhortation. Knowledge, discernment, faith, and exhortation. Okay. Great. Now, keep that in mind, because we're going to be looking at how are you going to use that here at Kitwe Church. Now, I know some of you may or may not know each other very well. For those who might know Clara more than others, what do you see any on the list that you're saying, but I'm almost certain she has this because I've seen it. Anything to add?
Somebody.
Exactly, you really do. And it's hard because we're getting to know each other through this class. But I'm looking at a few, like, people who are in the same family and others that might know each other better than others. Tibby, how about you?
Well, I'm not saying that I missed the first couple,
first four, in fact. But then, and I tried to get it on the computer and I didn't. So I'm a little bit behind here. But I scored myself, where I scored highly is Discretion, Mercy and Giving. Gifts I've discovered, and I wish to see everyone come to love with God. I wish to be a great servant to others, and I don't, but I also feel that my shortcoming is I don't have the knowledge or the wisdom yet.
All right, you were really digging deep, weren't you? Okay, so the three, I heard mercy, giving, and what was the other?
Service.
Okay, service and helps. Okay, excellent. Good morning. How are you? Good. So we're just going through and looking to see which things came out to us from our study. For yours, did you get to go through and...
But yes, I did. Just why I just remember in the road I left my...
Yes. Okay. So, do you know which ones came out as maybe the gifts that you are most inclined to that you believe God has given you?
I believe.
Okay.
Yes.
So, faith? Okay. Yes, exactly. And that's what we're doing now, is just going back through to see what these questions revealed about us.
Yes, I left mine.
I know.
Yes, I believe.
Okay. Well, we're going to keep going around the room and we'll hear from others as well. And that way you'll be able to see. Yaku, how about you?
I'm actually very happy to see that I could do it. Not happy. It was like the one of the scored the
deal.
Oh? Yeah. Interesting. And then on 5 and... what is this one? Service and Helps.
Service and Helps, yeah.
So the highest... This is my two highest ones.
Yes. So
this is pretty much where I am now.
And it is interesting. I'm not surprised by any of the things that I have heard so far. And you, what is good about that? Why is it good that I'm not surprised to hear that these questions have revealed these things to you? Right, because I know you and I've seen what you're naturally inclined to do in serving at Keatway Church. All right. You didn't get a chance to go through it last week, right? Okay, so then... Okay, now you're ready, okay?
Yes. Evangelist is meaning like you want to be...
Sharing the gospel with others.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Evangelist.
Okay.
This mercy.
Mercy.
Yes, mercy.
Ah, those two go very well together.
Yeah.
Excellent. All right. Okay, let's see. Who else did it from last week? Hannah, did you? Not... Who raise your hand if you have your papers from last week. All right. What did it reveal for you?
My two highest was administration, knowledge, and mercy. But that being said, they're not very high, that either.
Okay, excellent observation. So your three highest were administration, mercy, and... Okay, but you said they're not as high as you'd want. They're not very high.
No.
But... What does that mean then?
Well, I probably need to work on it a bit more, but there are more to it that I do need to work on.
Okay. Well, and you know what? God chooses what gifts to give all of us. So yes, we should be striving to serve in any way that we see the need is there. But for the ones that you say they're higher than others, that's an indication that God has most likely given you those as a spiritual gift, and yet you want it to be even higher. All that means is you need to now develop them. So when I started last week, I shared with you that my answers in 2017 are very different from back in 1997. When I did one of these, or even before that. And you know, that's because throughout the years, I have not only had those spiritual gifts, but I've developed my knowledge and skill at using them. And that's what that's showing for you, too. Okay, Renee.
My service,
Service, faith, and mercy. Ah, so the faith is definitely going to come in handy right now as life is changing so much for you all, right? And you know, I can see that too, because when we're together at all of these different events, the ones who have the gift of faith tend to be the ones that can encourage and brighten the room, right? And yeah, I'm not surprised. Not surprised at all. Tawanda, you weren't here last week, right? Okay, so you'll get to go through this on your own throughout the week. Who else had it from last week? All right, Karu.
So, I did a survey, and like my spiritual gifts were service and health, mercy and hospitality.
Okay, how many of you would agree with Karu on those? Yeah, okay. Say them again, Karu.
Service, health, mercy, and hospitality.
Mm-hmm. Very obvious, right? That's right. That's really what we're doing. We're testing the test because we already have seen it. And this is where, if you've been coming to the Wednesday Bible study on experiencing God, we see that God speaks through the Holy Spirit, through His Word. Well, that's what we've been doing these last 8 weeks, studying God's Word regarding spiritual gifts. And then it's going to be affirmed through the church. And through prayer, and that's what we've been doing with all of these. We've now gone through last week, we prayed, asked God to help us answer these questions accurately, and now the church is speaking and affirming, yes, we're seeing these things. Okay, Annette. What was the first one?
Exhortation.
Faith and mercy. Okay. All very people-oriented gifts to build up and encourage others. How many of you would agree with those? Uh-huh. Not surprised at all, are we? Jean, welcome. We're just going through from last week.
Okay.
And we're sharing the three that were the highest in our list. So, for you, what three spiritual gifts?
Mercy.
Yes.
Teaching.
Yes?
And administration.
Mercy, teaching, and administration. And everybody who knows Gene, would you agree with those? Uh-huh, yeah. So once again, we started off last week by saying, you know, this test is just a test. We're not able to say that this definitely proves that you have or don't have some. But as we're going through it, and we're looking at each other's lives, and we're seeing where people are serving, and what they're naturally inclined to do, I think we're seeing that the survey was quite accurate, aren't we? Okay, is there anything that comes to your mind as you look at this list, and you say, oh, but I'm seeing some of these, and I know someone in this room has it, but it hasn't been named yet? See, the reason I'm asking this is sometimes people feel pretty discouraged. Well, I've got it, but it doesn't seem to be as high as I want it to be at this point, that kind of thing. And sometimes they just need to hear encouragement. I remember the first time that somebody said to me that they believed I had the gift of evangelism. And I thought, I don't know. I mean, sharing the gospel and knowing people, everybody's different that when you're sharing the gospel with them. And I just wasn't so convinced of that, but it made me think about it. And then over the years, it's proven to be true. And the reason why that was so helpful for me when somebody else pointed it out to me was because at that point, I was a bit discouraged. And the only way you're going to know if you have the gift in a specific area or not is to try to use it. Well, if you're discouraged and sharing the gospel is already a bit of a challenge for most people, you're not even going to try, right? And I think that person's encouragement to me helped me look at it and say, okay, let me keep trying. Let me see if that's really true. And it was. And so, as I was going through and listening to yours, I agree with a lot of them. In fact, I agree with everything that was said for those that I know very well. But I believe that there are more who do have the gift of evangelism than were indicated, and teaching than were indicated. Leadership, administration, I'm not so sure, but I'm looking around the church and I see people who are not in this class that I'm looking at and saying, yeah, I see those in them. And they might need us to encourage them. So that's the reason to ask that question. Well, before we move on, let me ask you two final questions. Now that you know what your spiritual gifts are, or what at least you believe they are from the survey that you've taken, what are you going to do to develop your skills to use them more effectively? You've got the gift. It's kind of like, I've got this phone, but there's a lot of things that I don't know how to use on this phone yet. It can do a lot more than I know how to do with it. And I think a lot of us are that way with our spiritual gifts. So what can you do to develop your gifts more fully? Yes, Linda.
Mm-hmm.
Excellent. So when the Holy Spirit prompts you to serve, even in a way that you might not think you do have that spiritual gift, don't hesitate. Obey. Don't talk yourself out of it. Don't, I'm so busy, all of these things. Instead, say, okay, Lord, I'm going to do this. I'm going to step out. What else can we do to develop our gifts? Yes.
I think also to interact with people who have got the same gifts so that you can learn something.
Yes. Excellent point. Yes. So find someone who also has the same spiritual gift as you and be around them, because they might have learned how to use it in ways that you have not yet been exposed to. So just like Scripture says, iron sharpens iron. Be around those who have those gifts and learn from each other.
And after that gift, you say merci. You say thank you. Merci.
Thank you. Merci. We're going to offer it in French and Afrikaans. Buy a donkey. Right? Buy a donkey. No. She was saying, and after you've had that experience with one another, you're going to say merci instead of mercy. Yes. Okay. What else can we do to strengthen, to develop our spiritual gifts?
Okay, I think also we're going to look at where our weaknesses are.
Mm-hmm.
Because as much as I would like to lead people back, I have to have the knowledge or the basis to do that.
Exactly.
I can't just fish things out of the air. I've got to have more knowledge and more wisdom.
Yes. Exactly. Yes. So I'm thankful that you brought that up. We need to do, I think, two things out of that answer. We can't help others if we're not continually growing. If we pour out what is in us without replenishing it, we're going to run dry. We're supposed to be ministering out of the overflow of what God is doing in our lives. So continue studying. Continue spending time in God's Word. Let Him mold you and shape you on the deep inner man so that it now is flowing from you. And part of that then is looking for your weaknesses. Where am I weak? I might not even have a spiritual gift in this area, but it doesn't mean that I cannot be used to serve in some of these things. And praise the Lord, He's going to bring someone else who does have this gift to take that over. Okay. Anything else? Exactly. A lot, especially when it comes to evangelism. Oh, no, I can't do that because I don't have the gift. Yeah, but you do have the command. And when Paul spoke to Timothy, he didn't say, hey, go exercise your gift of spiritual, of evangelism, right? He said, do the work of an evangelist. It seems that maybe Timothy was more gifted in areas of administration, areas of teaching, areas of shepherding, areas of exhortation. But he had to be reminded and encouraged, do the work of an evangelist. So don't limit yourself only to serving in the areas where you sense strongly that you have that gift. When you see the need, meet the need. You have a command, especially when it comes to evangelism. It's not optional. Every Christian has been given that command. also learn from and partner with those who have the gift, but all of us have the responsibility. Okay, and I think the last thing that I would add to what you've just said is, you're going to learn to develop them by using them. Serve, do it. So, Jean asked a really good question last week, and that was, she's looking at the list, and they were all spiritual gifts listed, and then she said, but I don't see a ministry of prayer. And I said, well, that's because this is not a ministry survey. This is a spiritual gift survey. And so she was taking this and jumping to the application of it. That's what we want to do, and that is think of, at Kitwe Church, if you have these gifts, what ministry can you use it in? Maybe it's a ministry that already exists here at Kitwe Church. Maybe it's one that, you know, we're still young in our development. Maybe there are some ministries that we need to be developing, and you have a spiritual gift in that area. Perhaps God wants you to be the one helping such ministries get started. So let's just take a few moments and think about, what are some of the gifts, what are some of the ways that you can use your spiritual gifts here at Kitwe Church? So think of the three that you named off that the survey indicated. Yes. Okay.
I'm going to say that is you and Paul and Yako and Derek's job. I was thinking more that these are the kind of things I would like to be able to do outside, when I'm outside with others. Like, for instance, I was at a function yesterday, and I must admit it became a split, because all the drinkers and, well, the smokers go off anyway, and the smokers went that way, and the non-drinkers and non-smokers were sitting here, and the Word of God came up, whereas you know it didn't come up there.
Right.
So I was thinking more of using these, not necessarily in church, but...
Okay. Well, some of these gifts are obviously intended to be used outside, like that of evangelism. But all of them are intended for the building up of the body. So I'm going to give you some pushback.
Bringing them
exactly
to the church.
Exactly. So there are many of these that, you know, mercy and hospitality, giving, evangelism, all are used to bring people into the body. So it is still for building up the church. But yes, it's being used also outside. However, when you think about how it talks in, I believe it was the Ephesians 4 passage, that God gives evangelists and prophets and elders, all of these pastors, teachers, to equip the saints for the work of the ministry, there's where I'm going to give you a little pushback on yours, because I agree with what you just said about using it outside to draw people to the gospel and see the church grow. But at the same time, so many people do look at it and say, well, it's the pastor's and the deacon's job to serve at church. There's a whole lot more than just we few men can do. Sometimes people say, well, then the pastors need to appoint us to do it. Well, we can ask and we can look, but a lot of times we might not recognize the spiritual gifts that you have. And I've had a lot of people who've said to me, I've just been waiting for you to ask me to do this. And my response is, there's a whole lot going on I've just been trying to keep up with. I've been waiting for someone like you to volunteer. And so I think it's communication. It's both ways. Okay, so good points there, Tivi. All right, what are some other... Jean?
Last week I was really torn. There was somebody weeping in front of me, but the administration had to go and count the money.
Ha ha ha, yes.
It was difficult.
She was torn between her two spiritual gifts named off. The gift of mercy wanted to comfort the one crying, but the administration handling of the money had to be handled. So, yes, that's why we must make sure we're all using it. That way, if Jean's having to focus on the administration, someone else should be stepping up and taking care of the mercy. So part of it is just looking for opportunities, like last week. And part of it is getting into systematic, intentional weekly or monthly ministries so that you have the opportunity to use them. So anyone have something that you're like, I now know that what I have and I want to get involved with such and such ministry? Anyone have something in mind? Still thinking. Some of you are like, I did, but I'm moving. I'm seeing that in the NFL. Let's start thinking of opportunities like that. Well, let's switch gears to question and answer time, and I'm going to hand this thing over to Phil. Yes.
I'm going to do, I know you guys are dying to know as well. I would like to know what you're hiring.
Oh my, mine? Mine. Okay. That, you know what, that is a good point. I didn't do that last week, did I? Okay, well, mine, I had a tie for four. All of them were at... All of these four were at the 25 level. It was teaching. Prophecy in the sense of confronting, of proclaiming God's word, not visions, dreams, but prophecy in the sense of standing up for what God's word says. Shepherding, so pastoring. There were actually five of them. Evangelism and apostleship, meaning being a missionary. So yeah, those were my all their top five. Actually, according to this, and I can affirm the feelings from this, that was actually my third down. So those first five were all tied at the top, then wisdom / exhortation, then administration was actually lower than all of those. Yeah. All right. Well, here we go. Phil?
Okay.
They might have the same question for you.
All right. Well, let me just affirm one thing that was said, and that is that though these things are helpful in discovering or identifying what may be our spiritual gift, that does not mean that God does not want us to exercise the other things. We are to exercise. And that came out very well, but I just want to underscore that. We're all to give, even if our primary spiritual gift is not giving. We're all to evangelize, even if our primary spiritual gift is not evangelism. We're all to exercise faith and pray, even if that's not... Do you see the point that's being made there? So I want to be careful that as we kind of dig into this, that we're not going away with wrong ideas. I did not do this particular survey. I was not here last week. I've done other ones. I would say the three on this list that I have know of would be leadership, prophecy in the sense of preaching the word boldly, and faith, able to trust God for things that seem impossible. Take your little booklet, and if you go to page number 10, there are commonly asked questions as we talk about, kind of wrap up our discussion on spiritual gifts. There's commonly asked questions, and I do want to open it up for those further questions. We have about 20-25 minutes here for this section. And a lot of the questions that arise center, and understandably so because of what's going on in our modern day, but many of the basic questions that arise center around the gifts that are miraculous in nature. The gift of prophecy, gift of miracles, gift of healing, prophecy in the sense of foretelling the future, not forthtelling, but foretelling. And so I want to go back to page 10, but before I kind of work through these, do you have any questions concerning anything in our study of spiritual gifts? If it's something I've handled, or Jamie can pop up and help us as well. What questions? Kind of a summary here of of discussion and questions, things you want clarified in our study of spiritual gifts, or just questions you feel like weren't really answered or you weren't around for the answer and you'd like clarifications. Anybody have any questions? Tawanda. Just speak up so I can hear you.
The spiritual gifts that were being mentioned.
Yes.
Are they like the old ones? Are they spiritual gifts in an abiding sense or like the old ones?
Okay, I'm not sure what you mean by the old ways, but you're...
It says, and they're given as the spiritual gifts.
Yes, okay. So we saw in our study that the Spirit gives gifts to every Christian at the moment of their salvation. So at the moment of salvation, we receive the Holy Spirit to indwell us. When He comes to indwell us, He gifts us. These are not things that were natural talents to us previously. But with our talents is what we receive at birth, physical birth. Spiritual gifts is what we receive at our spiritual birth. And when the Spirit comes to indwell a believer, He does gift each of us with at least one spiritual gift, probably more than that, but at least one. And those gifts in the sense of abiding are as abiding as the Holy Spirit who lives in us. Okay, so the Spirit comes to indwell a believer. I will never leave you. I will never abandon you. Now we can quench the Spirit, right? We can sin against the Holy Spirit. We cannot hear the voice of the Spirit because we have allowed sin to come into our heart and life. And certainly in that situation, we are not going to be sensitive towards any spiritual gift because we're living in sin. Does that make sense? But it doesn't mean that spiritual gift is gone. Perhaps we could use the word, it's lying dormant underneath the layers of sin in the life of a believer. When that sin has been dealt with and the Spirit of God is again in control of our lives, that spiritual gift will again manifest itself. Does that answer your question? Sort of. You want to follow up?
But I actually love this. The way the Bible says that to each, that
are given
to each by the same Spirit.
Yes.
And He uses it as He
sees fit. Yes. So, yes. So the use of the spiritual gift is, and as He sees fit, is the work of the Holy Spirit.
Well, I
would answer that question in this way. The spiritual gift of healing was one of the temporary gifts, although in the day of early ministry of Peter, he could heal at will, just like Jesus could heal at will. The apostles could heal at will. Later in the New Testament, towards the end, when it's the last and final pages are being written, it appears, it's very clear from the context of Scripture that gift was no longer active and effective. So there was but when the gift was there for the purpose, it could be used at will. And by the way, that's one of the strong arguments of Scripture of the fact that what we're seeing today is not the same thing. Right? Yeah, it wasn't like 50% of the people got healed. 100% of the people got healed. When Peter healed and he was healing someone, they all got healed. And when Jesus was healing, now maybe it was just a single person, but I'm saying He never attempted to heal someone who later was back in the wheelchair. You follow me? Okay, so so hopefully that helps you. Yes, Jean. Yes, yes.
Yes. Darlene, yes.
Absolutely.
And we've seen that in our Bible study.
Yes.
People.
Yes.
And when you say healing doesn't
take
place.
No, I didn't say healing doesn't take place. So let's go back and clarify. All right. So we have not and are not saying that healing doesn't take place. God still heals, but He heals according to James chapter 5. and he heals according to his will in answer to prayer. The prayer of faith that saves the sick. That is not the same as the miraculous gift of healing given to Jesus and the apostles. In other words, today, that's how God heals, Gene. God heals in answer to prayer. Not because Phil has the spiritual gift of healing and I just have to touch someone and they're healed, or speak to someone and they're healed. That's what was taking place with the spiritual gift of healing. Now, that gift, no one has that gift anymore. And the point that I was making to Tawanda is that if you have that gift, then it has to be manifested biblically, which means you can't have a failure rate. Everyone you speak to, everyone you touch, must be healed, because that's a spiritual gift. What we are saying is clearly in the New Testament, that gift was one of the miraculous gifts that is no longer needed. Now instead, the church is called to pray for, beseeching God on behalf of this person. And when God gives us the faith, and that's a whole discussion. Be here for the James 5 preaching in a few weeks, all right? When God gives us collectively the confidence in our heart, the faith in our heart, to ask God to heal that person, then we can do so. But it's not us with the gift of healing, it's God answering prayer. There's a big difference there. Very big difference there. If I had the spiritual gift that Peter had, I would be down at Kitwa Center Hospital this morning and I'd wipe that place clean. Because that's the gift Jesus had. They wouldn't have to come to Kidway Church. I'd just go there. I'd walk through the halls. I'd just wipe it all out. I'd just heal everybody. In fact, if I could pick a spiritual gift, I've often said, if I could pick one and God let me have anything I wanted, that's the one I want. Because there's so much suffering in the world. And I just go around fixing it. Right?
I always think it's amazing how many doctors are Christians. And it's because they will, oh no, the baby hasn't got a chance of living, and all of a sudden it lives.
Mm-hmm.
Or they say, oh no, this person is fine, and the next minute they're gone.
Right.
And they see on an almost daily basis.
Yes. Yes, absolutely. Very good point. So does everyone here understand Gene's question and why I had to correct that? Because that's a common misstatement that people will make. So you said there's no such thing as healing. We've never said that. We're not saying that. What we are saying is that Scripture is teaching no one has the apostolic gift of working miracles and performing healings. Okay? So, and if you claim to have it, you can't redefine how it works. If you claim to have it, you got to go back to the book for how it works. And if it's not working like that, it's something else. Right? So very, 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 very good questions. That's what I was hoping for. I hope that's helping to clarify a little bit. Anyone else have a question? Linda?
Yeah. Then on their time off, are they going healing people? You know.
Yeah, and you have to go there instead of. Yeah, yeah. So I think those are all good things to at least recognize. Anyone else have a question? Okay, if you look at page number 10, and you can throw a hand up if another question comes to you. I think that kind of leads us into that first basic question. Fair question. How do I know that certain one of these gifts have ceased? And as we saw in our study, the answer to that question lies in the nature of the gift. Scripture clearly tells us that some of these gifts would cease. For instance, love never fails. Where there are prophecies, they shall fail. Where there are tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. And remember, when we looked at that text, we said that Paul is doing two things. He's affirming for the Corinthians that the gift was still active when he wrote this. And he's also telling them that at some point, he didn't tell them when, at some point the gift was going to cease. And the word cease there means a complete cessation. 1 Corinthians 13:10, when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away. And the gift of prophecy, the gift of knowledge, the gift of tongues did cease. And they ceased when... And two things kind of happened at the same time. Scripture was completed. The writing of Scripture, the canon of Scripture, was completed around 90 AD. And at the same, in the same window of time, Titus, the Roman general, sacked Jerusalem. And the state of Israel, as known under the Romans, ceased to exist. So judgment fell upon the nation of Israel. Remember, the gift of tongues was primarily a sign for unbelieving Jews. And it was to warn them that judgment was coming. Right? Judgment came. Well, I think that was around 90 AD, somewhere in that 70. 70. So 70, it was Jerusalem, and 90, around 90, 20 years later, is when John finished the book of Revelation. So in that window, the reason for the miraculous gifts were completed, and church history shows us that from 100 AD, going all the way to 1901, 1906, the gift of tongues and these things were unknown. So did they cease? Yes. History even shows us clearly that happened. Sorry? Yeah. It never came to pass. Yeah, that's happening so frequently, isn't it? I mean, if you Google that stuff, there's prophets on our continent. I mean, not just in Africa, but I mean, it's all over. But certainly where we live, prophets that have made predictions just within the last 5 years or 10 years. Big name people, and none of it came to pass. So, and remember what Moses warned us. If they're truly a prophet speaking from God, 100% success rate. Exactly. And if they don't tell you and it doesn't come to pass, it means they are not from God, and this verse says you should not fear them, you should not reverence them, you should not listen to them. Okay, very good.
And for those who weren't here when Phil was going through the other booklet that's entitled The Gift of Tongues, there are some interesting historical facts in there that you had Chrysostom and Augustine both writing. These are early church fathers, you know, from 100 to 160, for like around 100 AD, they're saying that these things, nobody's seeing them. It ceased to exist. And nothing like it shows up again until 1600 AD. Well, that's not then, if God says it's going to cease, and it shows back up, it's not the same thing.
Mm-hmm. All right. So then why would some people claim to have gifts they don't have? I don't know all the answers, but there's some suggestions there at the bottom of page 10. It could be that they have a strong emotional desire to feel needed or to belong to the group, and the group believes a certain thing. For some, I think this one is a fact that they have little or no interest in actually studying the Bible, and traditional churches are boring to them. And in those cases, at least in my own experience, in some cases, it's very clear in talking with some of these people that they're not genuinely born again. They don't even know Christ as their Lord and Savior. That's not all, but there are some. It could be that they've had some false teaching and have been just led into this way of thinking, and I think that's a big one. It's just how you were born, it's where you were brought up, it's the tradition that you found yourself in, and why would you have a reason to question it, right? I mean, it's all you've known. And so it's misled them in their way of thinking. So what do we say? Back to the book, right? Go back to the Word of God. In some cases, I think we have to recognize that when we are more committed to an experience than we are Scripture, that we give Satan an opportunity to deceive us. Yeah, but I had this experience. I don't care what the Bible says. I had someone tell me that once. I don't care what the Bible says. I know what I've experienced. And I said, well, there you go. I mean, there's no further discussion to be had, because you are taking your experience as the standard of objective truth, and you are willing to subjugate the Bible to your experience rather than the way it should be, right? The Scripture is the final authority. Jean? Right, right.
And number two, your experience, as long as it's in line with the Bible, Scripture.
Very good, correct. Absolutely, absolutely. Yeah. Yeah, do you see the fruit of the Spirit in your life? Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, goodness, gentleness, meekness, patience, kindness. If that stuff's not in your life, then let's not be talking about spiritual gifts, right? Very good. All right. And I've kind of mentioned this, and I think we're getting close to having to close. But so if these particular category of miraculous gifts do not exist, then where do certain people get the power to perform the things they do? That's a fair question, and that came up during our sessions, and I wanted to come back to that. I kind of kicked the ball down the court, and I said I'll come back to that one. And there's probably other things, but number one, I think there's two things that definitely do happen. I am not saying it's inclusive. One thing is that people make up things or convince themselves of things because they so long to have that experience. And so, whether intentionally or unintentionally, and I have known firsthand of numbers of people who just said, look, I was in that service, everybody was speaking in tongues, I felt awkward, so I just started saying stuff. But, okay, so I think that certainly can happen. The pressure that people face in particular situations can be very strong. And for the sake of conforming to what's going on, they play along. So that's certainly one partial answer. And also, I believe that Satan is a powerful deceiver. And I think we must never underestimate that. Satan is a powerful deceiver. And Scripture tells us that we should not be surprised when Satan or his angels transform themselves and present themselves as angels of truth and angels of light. And that's 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 14 to 15. So false workers of Satan in the Old Testament and the New Testament. Simon the sorcerer was one in the New Testament. The priests of the false god Ra in Egypt, when Moses came and turned water to blood and a stick to a snake, they did the same miracles. Simon the sorcerer did the same miracles in the New Testament. All I'm saying is that false workers of Satan could mimic the miracles of the children of God. So why would we think that it would be any different today? So if you don't believe the truth of God's Word, you elevate experience. Satan is very happy to give you an experience as long as it will lock you into falsehood and unbelief. Why? Because he wants to destroy your testimony if you're a Christian, and he wants to take you to hell if you're not saved. So he's happy. He's happy to give you an experience if it will confirm you in your unbelief of the true gospel. And I think a lot of things that are going on is either directly or indirectly playing into this this reality. Now, the last one that I will mention, is it possible that people who have been deceived into thinking that they have a miraculous gift, is it possible that they're genuinely saved? And of course the answer is yes. Yes. it's very possible that they're truly saved and they've simply fallen under the sway of false teachers or false teaching. However, it's also possible that they may not be saved. I think it's a mixed bag. They have an emotional or a spiritual experience instead of being truly converted. Other types of things that we see and hear, especially in our media in our day, this thing, and you can read about it yourself in verse on page 11, the prosperity gospel, the gospel so-called that says God wants everyone to be healthy and wealthy. It was purchased for you. Your health was purchased for you in the atonement. That is a heresy. It's an absolute false teaching. That your wealth, Christ is rich, He owns everything, you're His child, therefore He wants you to be rich in this life. It's absolute heresy. Prosperity heresy. Some of you may have seen on TV this so-called power of being slain in the spirit. You know, the guy throws the spirit of God and people go over backwards, comatose, or sometimes they're shaking. Like when I was in the village and I saw people shaking, that was demon possession. But in those things, they're sitting there and they're out of control, shaking like that, and everyone says, "Oh, wonderful, the Spirit of God has just fallen." There's absolutely zero biblical ground for the slain in the Spirit phenomenon. Whenever anyone came into contact with God in the Old Testament, they fell on their face in worship. They didn't go over backwards in a comatose state and violently, either just comatose or shaking. There's just no biblical precedent for that whatsoever. And then the so-called deliverance ministries, and that's big in our day. The demon of this and the demon of that and the demon of the other thing, and people are saying, "Oh, that's the demon of, you know, adultery, and we've got to cast out the demon," and they're doing all kinds of crazy things. There's no biblical support for any of this kind of thing. Okay. We haven't answered all the questions, I'm sure, because that's just the way topics like this are. But I hope that this has been helpful for us and the conversation can continue. Jamie and I are always available.